Open up the scriptures just to Matthew chapter 13. So it's good. It's great to hear our testimonies. You know, like I could stand up here all day and just listen to me, but you hear about testimonies coming from other people. You know, first-hand experiences. So it's good to do that. Also breaks it up a little bit. So Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to talk about persistence. So I was just thinking about this aspect that's blatantly obvious in Matthew chapter 13, and I thought, I'll open it up just to lead in. It has nothing really to do with persistence, but it's something that's pretty important about what Jesus' ministry was all about. So I'll go through just half a dozen quick verses here just to make a point in Matthew chapter 13. And verse 24 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. Over to 31, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Over to verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. Over to verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Right? These are all Jesus' words. In my Bible, they're marked in red, so it's easy for me to pick up. So with Jesus' ministry, he walked here on earth as a man, the Son of God. But the whole point of his ministry was to teach people about the kingdom of heaven. And so here, that's why I picked out those verses, because he's saying, look, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And so he was talking about the things teaching people about the kingdom of heaven. And so when you read Jesus' words, that's what you think about. Read of all his parables. He's trying to give us a picture of what the kingdom of heaven's all about. So you latch hold of it. Think, there's a little gem there. You know, and these we know great parables, you know, of the tares and the wheat, the seed, you know, the scattering of the seed, the word, the fishes, the net, all these sorts of things. And it gives us a picture of what it's all about, what the kingdom of heaven's all about. And we glean from the scriptures also that the kingdom of heaven now dwells within us through the Spirit. And so then as a collective, we're all part of the kingdom of heaven through the Spirit. And so we get this clarity of understanding. That's what Jesus is talking about, is the kingdom of heaven, okay? Over to Matthew chapter 7. So talk about persistence. And verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, or of the flesh, not of God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, it's a simple example. You know, mankind, there's the relationship between a man and a son. And being of the flesh, you know, if that son asks for bread, they're not going to give him a stone. It's a simple thing. So God, who is pure and perfect, you know, would he not give us good things if we ask them? And so it starts out with ask, seek, and knock. You know, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So there's a bit of persistence there. You know, you can go through this, like in my I suppose you say, walk in the Lord, he's just blessed me so much with work. You know, that's just a blatantly obvious blessing in my walk is work. You know, I'll be stuck with a bit of work and the Lord just blesses. And so just gleaning on those experiences, you know, you go through this, like ask, like first of all, you ask, you pray to the Lord. You know, that's what you do. You get on your knees and you pray to the Lord. You pray and pray and pray to the Lord. You ask. But then there's an action required. You go and seek. So, for example, with the employment situation, it's funny how we have a website that's seek.com. So you go there and seek. You look for something. You're actively looking. Oh, what's this all about? Let's try that. but always praying, always asking as well at the same time. Asking of the Lord, but then you're actively seeking, you know, looking around, maybe this is it, you know, and then what you do is you knock. Okay, let's go for it. Like you're seeking, maybe this is it, and then you knock and you go down that path and you knock away. Sometimes that is shut, that door is shut, as we use that term. So then you keep seeking, praying as well, asking and then seeking as well, I'll try this one. But you keep asking, you keep seeking, and you keep knocking until the door is opened to you. And with the example of work, you know, like you keep knocking, applying for jobs, keep applying, going to interviews, you keep doing this thing until the door's open. Because there's a great promise here that ask and it shall be given you. You ask for the work or whatever it is, you know, I'm just using that as an example, the healing, you ask for the healing or the provision or whatever it is. You keep asking, you seek for it and you'll find it. And then you knock and the door will be open to you and it'll be given to you. Just like the example here, you know, you're asking the Lord for a bit of bread. You're asking the Lord for a fish. So he's going to give you that bread and that fish. He's not going to give you a stone and a serpent because he is a good, the Father in heaven knows how to give good things. So there's that persistence, that asking, seeking and knocking. Now this parable in Matthew stops short. There's another element to it in Luke chapter 11. So same parable, but it just adds a little bit extra at the end. And as we're here on earth, filled with the Spirit, knowing that we're right before God, you know, things come up. We need things to get by here on earth. And so this concept of persistence is so important. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Do you not know that it's midnight? I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So importunity is persistence, you know, at midnight just constantly banging on the door, just to make him go away. So I can go back to sleep. He'll just give it to him. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, so that's that other element here that's not in the other parable, is this element about the Holy Spirit. And Luke 11 is just great encouragement for those that are seeking for the Holy Spirit. And so being persistent. Unfortunately, Marlise isn't here, but I mean, she prayed for the Holy Spirit for 11 months. You know, she was persistent. She kept hounding the Lord, kept asking, you know, for this Holy Spirit. And so how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? There's that great promise. You just keep asking, keep persisting constantly. Like you're banging on the door of a friend that's at midnight. Just keep banging and keep asking for these things. When we first came along, got baptized, we had this moment where we didn't have the Holy Spirit. And so you're seeking for that Holy Spirit. And so this here, like I said, is encouraging for those that don't have the Spirit to just keep seeking and keep knocking. But then when you speak in tongues, you have the Spirit. You stop seeking for the Holy Spirit. But you see, us now with the Holy Spirit, we can draw upon that experience. Okay, we sought for the Holy Spirit then. We kept pestering the Lord. We were persistent with the Lord. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we can draw on that experience. So now when we pray for other things in our life, just persistent, just at it, constantly at the Lord, persistently asking him, because we know that he will give us good things, you know, that line up with what he wants for us. And like we read the scriptures, and there are great promises in the scriptures on many elements of life. And so you can just throw the scriptures back saying, Lord, you've promised this. You've promised that we will never beg bread. You've said that he who does not work shall not eat. You know, you just throw these things back at it. You've promised healings as well. You've said that, no, you don't want us to be sick. You want us to be well. And so you throw these promises back to the Lord. They're straight out of the scriptures. Fair enough. You know, we're human beings. We can want something that's not in line with the scriptures. So it's a good thing the Lord doesn't give us that. But if it lines up with the scriptures, you know, we can just keep asking and pounding and persisting with the Lord. And now we have a great example to draw upon when he graciously filled us with the Holy Spirit and we spoke in tongues. We can always look back at that time. Ah, you did that for me, Lord, then. So, okay, I'll keep going. I'll keep being persistent. Luke 18. And this is another one, you know, when I'm in need of something. I often think of this parable, you know, thinking about what this is all about, like just to encourage me to be persistent. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint or give up, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. It's interesting how with the other parable, he drew the example of mankind who are evil, of the flesh, you know, and here also he's drawing the example of an unjust judge, you know, and so if it applies to mankind in the flesh who are evil, and if it applies to this unjust judge, then why shouldn't it apply to God? So think about that as we read through. Verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. So he ignored her. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, or is persistent, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Okay, so this example, just cry day and night. You know, he'll avenge them. And but that little footnote at the end, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find these people who are persistent, who cry day and night unto a God, knowing that he'll get they'll get an answer from him? So that's what the Lord actually wants us to do. That's why he's drawn these parables about what the kingdom of heaven is about, is so because he wants us to hound him. He actually wants us to be persistent so that when the Son of Man comes and returns, he will find faith on earth. That faith, you know, that faith. You keep asking in faith, don't you? You keep asking and asking and asking, expecting to get the answer. And so that is faith. John chapter 10. This may seem like it's a little bit out of left field, but John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. Right? The reason I'm saying this is the door is actually Jesus Christ. He's the door. And so we go through the right door. We go through he goes through the door, but you know, like we know that we're following him. We follow Jesus. We don't follow another one. Okay? So if we're persistently following Jesus Christ, who is the door, you know, and that can lead us to pasture, if we keep following him and being persistent with him, then we can get the answer. But if we follow someone else, You know, we're not going to get it. We're not going to get it from God, are we? So we follow Jesus and his ways. He is the door. He is the shepherd. We know that we're following a very real God. So follow him, not someone else, because you're not going to get the answers another way. So just as an example, over to 1 Kings chapter 18. So a bit of reading here. I did think of trying to make it a bit more concise, but it's just a great story here in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, it's about Elijah and the prophets. 1 Kings 18 and verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So it's quite a few people there, 850 people. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? You know, these people are following Baal, they're prophets of the groves. You know, why are you following there and you're kind of pretending to follow God as well? Like these two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. And as I was saying, Jesus Christ is the door, he's the shepherd, so let's follow him. So here's Elijah saying the same thing. If the Lord be God, if he be real, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Makes sense. Good logic there. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So here's these people. There's 450 prophets there of Baal, and they were so persistent. They started in the morning. They were jumping up and down on the altar. They were cutting themselves. They were so persistent. They were crying aloud unto their God. And right up until the evening sacrifice, all day, they were so diligent and persistent. But it says very clearly there that there was neither voice nor any to answer. So blatantly obvious, they were persistent with the wrong door or the wrong shepherd. And they didn't get an answer. So then verse 30 is Elijah. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in heaven, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Okay, so that was the right door. That was the right shepherd. That was the right one to be persistent with. And, you know, today, like, if we're persistent over a period of time for something, for whatever we're praying for that lines up with the scriptures, great promises, and then when you get the answer, it can seem like a great bolt of fire that comes out of heaven. It's like, whoa, that was phenomenal, absolutely amazing how the Lord delivered. It's just incredible. There's great joy, and it's so obvious. You know, you can look back over that time and you can see how it was all happening. The machinations of the Lord was leading to this point and what a wonderful miracle it was. In testimony, Diana was talking about her healings and like just her eyesight and things, like just praying for those things, and then bang, it's all happening. It's wow, it's exciting. And so you can imagine Elijah here as well, like he's praying to the Lord, hear me, O Lord. So don't be afraid to say that. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. And then he sees this fire come down and just lick everything up. Absolutely amazing. It's phenomenal how the Lord can answer prayer and how he can prove himself today in our lives. And even like the analogy is when we receive the Holy Ghost, we're baptized with fire from heaven as well. So that is a spiritual sort of fire. But then also later on when you get that blessing, when you sit back and think, wow. Wow, Lord, you are an amazing God. It can seem like this phenomenal fire has just come down from heaven and just licked up all the doubt and licked up all the confusion and licked up all the angst and the like. If you're weary of it all, it all just burns up. You're just so happy about what the Lord's done. Just another short bit down in verse 41. Just another little thing here. Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So this was during a drought. Elijah actually initially prayed for the drought. And so verse 42. So Ahab went out up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So the reason I'm reading this bit is that persistence again with Elijah. He prayed seven times. Seven times he sent his servant out and didn't see a thing. Oh, great. Okay, pray again. Send him out. Nothing. Oh, okay, I'll keep going. Keep being persistent because he knew God would answer. And then what's interesting is the servant came back and said, it's just this little cloud like a hand, just this little thing way out on the horizon. And then bang, Elijah said, right, this is happening. You know, he had this. So sometimes that can happen. We can get kind of a little glimmer, you know, after being persistent and praying for a long time, we can get a little bit of a glimmer, you know, oh yeah, that looks like what the Lord's up to something there, you know, and it's really encouraging. And then later on, then the downpour, there it is. You know, the windows of heaven open. But he was persistent, even though what was in front of him was nothing. It was just drought, drought, drought. But he's still persistent. And so we can pray to the Lord and we think there's nothing there. But you still persist and then you might get a little glimmer. Yep, the Lord's there. Okay, I can see something happening. Very exciting. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Like Jesus was renowned for healing people. Verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. I always found this a little bit odd, you know, that, I mean, Jesus could speak, and it was done. You know, he was the son of God, and he spoke many times and saw people being healed straight away. It actually says in the scriptures straightway that they were healed. But in this case, he had to do it twice. Always found that a bit weird. Like the first time it was incomplete. You know, the first time he prayed with this blind man, he could see, but the men were like trees walking. It was an incomplete healing. So Jesus went back again and prayed with him, and it was all restored completely. So Jesus also knew. He knew the promises of God, so he was persistent also. And so here as well is that same sort of thing, that small bit of cloud on the horizon, you know, little glimmer of the full healing. And so this man had a little glimmer of the full healing. Okay, he was blind. He could now see, but it was a bit weird. You know, people walking around looking like trees. But there was that glimmer still. There was a bit of a staged process. And then after that, when prayed again, his sight was completely restored. Okay? So it's a bizarre little concept, but it's in the scriptures for some reason to encourage us all about what the kingdom of heaven is all about. To be persistent, even Jesus had to ask twice for a healing, which is kind of bizarre. Mark chapter 9 and verse 20. And they brought him... Sorry, it needs a bit of an introduction here. So there was a bit of a schmozzle because there was someone filled with a evil spirit and the disciples couldn't heal him. So Jesus comes along and says, well, what's going on here? You know, like... So Jesus comes along and then they bring this child... the son who had a dumb spirit, they brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He's desperate. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay? Straight out of Jesus' mouth. But I like the reaction of this man. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Okay? So let us not be afraid. Like I said before, we cry unto the Lord, hear us, Lord, hear us, you know? We're filled with your spirit. We are your children. Hear us, Lord. But also, let us not be afraid to cry out to the Lord. Lord, I believe, you know, help me. Help me mine unbelief. I mean, there's another aspect. At the end of the book of Mark, it says signs will follow those who believe. So immediately we are believers. You know, we have signs that follow those who believe. We speak in tongues. We can pray for people to be healed. And there's many... testimonies of people being bitten by something poisonous or swallowing something poisonous and they were protected. So we have signs follow those who believe. So we are believers, but sometimes we are in the flesh. We can wax and wane in our confidence. So Lord, we believe, but help thou mine unbelief. You know, I so want this thing. You know, help thou mine unbelief. You know, I want to be faithful. I want to be there when the Son of Man returns. I want you to find the faith on the earth, and I want to be one of them. So help me with my faith. Help me in mine unbelief. Lord, listen to me and help me. And when you ask that, it's a question. You're asking for help, aren't you? And so the Lord will give you good things. You're not asking, you're asking for a fish, so he'll give you a fish. You ask him for an egg, he'll give you an egg. He won't give you a scorpion or a serpent. He'll give you those things. John chapter 14. I like this little passage because, well, it's a bloke called Philip, but Jesus chastises this Philip because he's a bit dopey. So it's nice. Yeah, there you go, Philip. You're a bit dopey. So dopey Philip. John chapter 14 and verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father, which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay? There's another promise we can throw back to the Lord. You said, if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. Now, there's that clarification there. You ask it in his name. Now, his name is his reputation. Okay? So what his reputation, what he stands for. And he stands for the promises that are in the scriptures. So you pray for things that are lined up with his name, that are lined up with his reputation, that are lined up with what's written in the scriptures, that are lined up with what's in the kingdom of heaven. Not something else, because he is a good God, he is our good Father, he wants good things for us, he wants us to endure till the end. And there is that time process involved there, to be persistent, to ask anything in his name, in his reputation, and he will do it. And then he'll find the faith there on earth. Right, last couple of scriptures. Proverbs chapter 13. This has been a favourite proverb of mine for a long time. And verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Okay, that's a fact. That's the way it is. You're constantly hoping for something from the Lord, whatever it is, if it lines up with the scriptures, you're hoping for that thing, and as you're persistently asking and asking, you're not getting anything, and you look at the sky and it's sort of just look like a drought, there's nothing there, and it makes the heart sick. It's a fact, it's just what happens. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You know, when that fire from heaven comes down, when it pours down with rain, it's like this tree of life. You know, it blossoms and it's full of fruit. It's lush. You know, the birds nest in it. It's just this tree of life. And then you forget completely about that period of time where your hope was deferred because you got this tree of life. You know, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And so it's like this tree of life. You get life from it. You are perked up from it, you know. You're glad that you were persistent. You were glad that you had the faith, that you persisted with the Lord, asking and asking and asking. There's no regrets because it's this tree of life. You've got the healing. You've got the provision. You are victorious. Last one, Jeremiah chapter 33. And also pray for comfort and peace. You know, they're all promises. You know, when you're worried and concerned, oh, where is the Lord? I'm praying to a brazen sky. You know, give me comfort and peace, knowing that you will answer. There's so many great things you can pray for to help you out while we're here wandering around on earth. Jeremiah chapter 33, brilliant verse. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, this tree of life, this thing, this great and mighty thing which you know not. You'll get this great answer which you think, what? I didn't think of that. Wow, this is amazing. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And it all started when you were first filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're first praying for this Holy Spirit, which you were told to pray, a bit confused, and then bang, you received it, you spoke in tongues. It's a great and mighty thing. Like Diana said in her testimony, this great revelation that she was perfect before the Lord. She was right before the Lord. Glennis has said as well, at that moment, she suddenly believed in eternal life. You know, this great and mighty thing that passes all understanding, which thou knowest not. While both of them were praying for the Holy Spirit, I bet they didn't think, oh yeah, when I receive the Spirit, I'm going to believe in eternal life, or, oh yeah, I'm going to be perfect before the Lord. No, this thing came, this tree of life came, and yes, bang, they didn't know it, this amazing thing that they now latch hold of year after year, because God, when they called unto him, God answered him with great and mighty things. And we can apply that in all our life, you know, things that come up, things that are happening, we can be ever faithful. Okay, thank you.